reminder that this type of abuse is endemic in Irish society, according to the support service 1 in 4. It says it's been inundated with calls from men who are disclosing abuse, often for the first time. According to its latest annual report, 1 in 4 supported 673 men and women last year who experienced sexual abuse in childhood, and 65 men who had caused sexual harm to children. We can talk now to the CEO of 1 in 4, Maeve Lewis, who joins us. A very good afternoon to you, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Brian.
Perhaps you might talk to us first of all about what you've been experiencing since the Blackrock College revelations, and indeed others since that, in terms of people getting in touch with you.
Well, you know, as you said, Brian, we have been absolutely inundated with calls, mainly from men, and mainly people in their 40s, 50s, 60s, even up to the 70s, who have been abused in spirit in schools, but also in schools run by other orders, Jesuits, Vincentians, Dominicans, and so on. And we have always been in touch with men who've been abused in schools run by the Christian Brothers, although they're not, the focus really isn't on that sector mm-hmm. right now. And it has been absolutely heartbreaking to listen to some of the stories, particularly because a lot of these people have never disclosed. They've never told their wives or parents or friends. And they're talking about the impact that abuse that happened 20, 30, 40 years ago has had on their lives, on their marriages, on their professional prospects, on their parenting. And, you know, if they had got support at the time the abuse happened, or indeed if the abuse had been prevented, mm-hmm. I think many of those men's lives would have been very, very different.
We'll come to this question of supports that can be offered to those who have been affected. But you do support in 1 in 4 these calls for a public inquiry. But I think you're of the view that it should be broader than just the Spiritans.
I think it would really be a missed opportunity if an inquiry just focused on the Spiritans. If we just take the orders offering private education, we're looking at 5, 6, 7 orders. And the real question is, you know, what happens in an organization that creates a culture that and a loyalty that prioritizes the reputation of the organization, the resources of the organization over the needs of children? I mean, you know, Irish people have been listening now for over 20 years to statutory inquiries describing exactly the same dynamic, where the abusers were protected, where they were moved, where other children were placed at risk. And we really need to have a root and branch inquiry as to how this could be happening. And of course, it happens in other organisations as well, Brian. Like, we've had the Scouting Ireland just today. A report has gone to the board of one of the volunteer ambulance services. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Swim Ireland have had their problems and so on. So, you know, what is it about us as a culture that allows this pervasive sexual abuse of children to continue?
In relation to those who do contact your own organisation, who contact 1 in 4, what kind of supports can you provide, and what kind of pressure is that putting on your own resources?
Well, obviously, we can provide psychotherapy to people who've been sexually abused. And you know, most of our clients in our annual report, about half our clients have actually been sexually abused in their own family, others in, you know, in their communities, sporting organisations, by professionals, so on. So we provide psychotherapy in individual and group settings. We also have an advocacy programme where we support people to engage with the criminal justice system. For example, as I speak, 3 of our advocacy team are in court this morning in the Circuit Criminal Court and the Central Criminal Court, and also, of course, to engage mm-hmm. with Child Protection Services in Tusla.
But you had a situation, I think, you're reporting that you had to close your waiting list for a time. Such was the demand.
Yeah, it's a perennial issue, Brian, and I think for most of the services working with sexual violence, that we are completely under-resourced. So last year we had to close our waiting list for 4 months because the waiting period had gone well over a year. And 1 in 4 of our clients last year told us that because of the impact of sexual abuse, they had made an attempt to take their own life at some point in their lives. So if you have people sitting on a waiting list, there is a huge concern as to what may happen during that waiting period. Now, last year, we were able, with support from Tusla, to employ a waiting list case manager, and she provides crisis support and some group support to people on the waiting list. So that alleviates some of the concerns. But, you know, 75% of our funding comes from statutory, you know, HSE, TUSLA, mm-hmm. Department of Justice, and we're very grateful for that. But the rest we have to raise ourselves through fundraising, fundraising events, donations. And we never have, we can never employ enough psychotherapists mm-hmm. or advocacy officers to deal with the demand for the service.
Just a final question, and it's about something you say you've noticed a marked increase in, and that's online abuse. What are you finding there?
Yeah, I mean, of the 65 men we worked with last year, almost half of them were guilty of online offences, and most of them had actually been caught by the Gardaí mm-hmm. through their investigations. And I think, Brian, people tend to minimise online abuse. They talk about child pornography, equating it almost with adult pornography, whereas in fact what we're looking at are vile, vicious images and videos of children, real children, being sexually exploited. And this year we had held a conference, and we had a speaker from Interpol over from Lyon, a specialist in this area, and it was one of the most terrifying presentations I have ever listened to. He was speaking about just an epidemic, an avalanche of these images that police forces around the world just do not have the resources to control or investigate or track. And, you know, for many of our clients, this is their gateway then into contact offending.